term lie as to how it is used and how freely that so many people engage in it, sometimes not even considering the effects of what they're actually doing. Bible names so many different ways by which a lie can be done, and this is why that it's kind of interesting to me to have such a study about it. It's not something that is very controversial, I don't think, so far as the recognition of what it is, I think is mutually agreed on. But it does touch just about everyone sometime. As to what the meaning of a lie is, in that it misrepresents the truth or deceives someone, to what constitutes a lie, in that it can either be told, it can be lived, it can be practiced in the life of an individual without any words regarding it being said. The different ways by which a lie can be turned by terms of definition, meanings of the word, as to how it affects the individual, in that it brought death to the human race as a result of the listening and obeying the lie, how it affected other people, the very fact that when lies are told upon someone else, it brings hurt, heartache, loss of love and influence, and how it affects God that he even repented himself that he made man because of this and other sins by which man has committed. In fact, one of the original Ten Commandments was, "Thou shalt not bear false witness." Then more serious than anything else suggested about it, that in the final end, in Revelation 21 and 8, it declares that all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. I believe that whenever a person, regardless of the manner in which he does misrepresent the truth or lie, that it classifies himself. In fact, in the wording of John 8 and verse 44, the writer said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. For he was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in truth, because there was no truth in him." Now listen. "When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." The very fact that if the devil, the father of a lie, if we should be guilty at any point in telling a lie, we classify ourselves the originator and transmitter of anything, the author of a family or society of persons animated by the same spirit of himself. Anytime then, what this will suggest to our mind, if we should lie, that we are placing ourselves in the same position as Satan, taking on the role in which he once introduced to the world himself, that brought defeat to mankind and will wind up in death. One who has infused, the dictionary went on to say, that one who has infused his own spirit into others and are captivated or governed their mind. The phrase is used of one that shows himself to be like another in spirit. So again, it is simply classifying ourselves when engaging in such an act. But there are many comments through the years that we have heard about the term lie. And I think it's good to discuss just a few of them very briefly, that we can understand some of the highlights of it and as to how far it actually goes. Recently on the television, it was a report given that the average American will lie at least 50 times every day. It is an awful lot of untruth that is suggested. It was by the general public of America. A lie has been something that has always had the same impact upon an individual as the truth. Whenever the truth is believed, the lie is believed. Whenever a person hears something and they put confidence within it, they obey that, it has the same effect exactly as the truth. In many sermons that I preach through the country, a little illustration that I often use, and I think that it bears out the point quite well. As a young child living in the back parts of Alabama, the nearest neighbor some 4 miles away, one day, my three brothers and sisters living in LaGrange, Georgia, had received word that our mother had died. For 40 miles, they raced in an automobile, weeping and sorrowing and grieving over our mother, Arriving on the home scene, they found her quite alive and well as she is till this day. The message had been missing, another party had died, but at any rate, they heard something that was not true, but it had the same impact upon them had our mother actually likewise. Now that is true in any field of a form of a lie, whether it be in the religious nature, whether it be just any kind of a lie that is given. There has been a time in which a man's word was his bond. Whenever he spoke, it was a seal of something of a commitment. In fact, in years gone by, people would make agreements, sell property, made different kind of business deals. It was sealed with a handshake and by a man saying that I will pay. Today, there is hardly anyone that is willing to risk others to do that, and seldom, even among Christians, is it so. As a child, we were taught so strongly against lying until it was a word that could not even be stated. It could not even come from our lips unless we received punishment of it. The word lie was as bad a curse word in my childhood days as just about any other term that we could use. But there was a time, too, whenever you would call a person a lie, you had actually discredited him in such a way that it was one of the worst insults that could be placed upon him. Many fights and many heartaches, many loss of lives even has been known because of someone calling another such a term. Because a man is never any better, and is true to this day, than his word. If a person speaks and you cannot bank or put confidence in what he is saying, really his words is of no value. If one person that you speak with at times, if what he says is true this time, the next time you're not quite sure, or if he talks in circles and not direct to shed the truth and the light, then we lose confidence in such an individual. Let me take it still from a different topic. I want to mention several things about this that it will introduce more and prepare ourselves for the discussion involved. Let me illustrate from the scripture some examples of lying, exactly what we have reference to. First of all, the devil in the Garden of Eden had lied unto Eve about the tree of knowledge, God having told her that if you eat, you will die. The devil said, ye shall not surely die. To my knowledge, this is the first lie that was ever told to the human race. And as a result of it, the day will come that you and I will lose the battle of death, we'll go down to defeat and destruction. Now, so far as Cain is concerned, you remember the story that he had killed his brother. When confronted by God about the matter, he denied, saying, am I my brother's keeper? I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? He had lied unto God. Ananias, his wife in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 5, it was a time whenever there was a depression almost sweeping the land. And in the latter part of the chapter 4, there were some that sold their possessions. They laid the money at the apostles' feet. They received a great deal of compliments about it from the apostles. And this man and his wife seemingly wanted the same kind of admiration. They sold property. They brought a part of the money. They laid at the apostles' feet. There are several things to be understood here. First of all, they did not have to sell the property, but they agreed what they would do with the money than which they had received. They agreed to keep it back, but yet lay a part at the apostles' feet, seemingly desiring the same recognition as others had. They confirmed, as it were with an oath, this is all they received of the property. And if you remember the story, they lied, and the apostle had pointed out unto them that you have not lied unto man, but unto God. That tells me that even this day, if I should ever be caught lying unto you, that I am doing nothing less than they lying unto God in such a respect. I sometimes feel that this could go into very fringed areas that would come close home to so many people, and that is why that I was interested in this particular thing. It is a time of the year, shortly, we are to pay income tax. Now, as long as there is a legal way by which we might escape paying taxes, well and good. But if we bypass our obligation by using some craftiness, some manner, by which we might escape it when it is not justifiable, it is a practice by which one does and that he actually falsifies. And whenever you reach the climax of what a lie brings about, the threat is dangerous. Because the Bible said all liars will have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. You may remember the story of the old prophet in the Old Testament. God had sent a young prophet into the land of Israel, told him and gave him a mission and a message, what he was to do and not to do. And the young man left with every intention in the world of living up to the requirements in which God had laid upon him. Arriving at the scene of the altar, he cried out against it, and after the affairs was taken care of, the king said, "Come to my house, eat, drink, be refreshed." The young man immediately responded, not for the half of the house or kingdom. He would not go. He rejected that offer. As he went home, the story relates that he rested himself. A man had come unto him. I tell the story in short for time's sake. The old prophet arrived on the scene beside him and assured him that I am like you are, I also am a prophet. And he tells him, the Lord, through it by an angel, told me, tell you to come to my house and so on. The young man heard a lie. He believed a lie. He obeyed that lie, and it cost him his life because of it. In the spiritual matter, it does exactly the same with us today. Now the Apostle Peter, at the trial of Jesus Christ, warmed himself by the sinner's fireside, and there was one that came by and said, thou art one of his disciples. But he denied saying, cursed and said, I know not the man. He lied about the matter. No one has ever really prospered or profited themselves any things by lying. But even if we did, and by lying that we did gain monetary value, prestige, or something of the type, do we see how it lowers us in the sight of God and places our soul in jeopardy of eternal damnation? The meaning of a lie by forms of definition, they gave so many in the dictionary, I just taken from two or three dictionaries some of the basic terms that it will aid, or I hope or trust it will, to our discussion this evening. The term of a lie just simply means to utter a falsehood with the intent to deceive, to cause an incorrect impression, to present a misleading appearance, to deceive one. A false statement or action, especially made with the intent to deceive, anything that gives or is meant to give a false impression. This is from Webster's Dictionary, the 20th Century Dictionary. Now, the Funwagon Dictionary gives it on this level, some to repeat almost the same, but still in just a little different manner. To loaf or do something in a desultory manner, that is, in an easier or misguided way, indirect way. An untruth, falsehood. An accusation of lying, he went on to say, to give him the lie and then penned it as a white lie, to utter an untruth, implying to the contrast of a conventional experience of courtesy, and summed it up by saying a fib. Oftentimes that term white lie and fib is given usually when you suggest the idea of a white lie. A person almost will say that I had to tell a little white lie and more or less laugh it off under their breath because of something they had to say that was not true, that would give a misleading idea and really have no conscience about it. I feel very strongly about it today because I feel it does jeopardize our eternal soul. To make an untrue statement, the dictionary went on to say, knowingly, especially with the intent to deceive, to give an erroneous or misleading impression, and by synonym it would use the term deceit, deception, fabricate, falsehood, or untruth. A lie is the uttering of what one knows to be false with the intent to deceive. Now, with this particular basis in mind, there are a number of things I would like to suggest to your mind. I want to break that down just a little bit in some of the sidelines, some of the less offensive terms than the strong term lie, because some things that are said, mention this before doing that, that there are some kind, there are things that is not true, and yet it is not a lie either. The very fact that when we talk about a novel or a drama, it isn't true, but it's not a lie because it is not given with the intent to deceive or to leave one with a false impression. In the definitions that were given, it uses the term untruth. That simply means exactly the same thing, and the dictionary defines it as being a more mild or a more dignified word than the term lie. It is much less offensive if you tell a person that is untrue than to stand there and say you lied about the matter, because that term strikes very hard, and yet in reality it is exactly the same expression that is made both or equal so far as they stand in the sight of God. There was mention along that line of one being conscious with the intention of falsehoods in which he would impart, in a sense of whatever is not what it is professed to be. Then the term liar, upon the same level, one who breaks faith, a faithless man. Then, of course, the term fib is defined like this, as a petty falsehood to tell a fib. That term fib is where so many people just simply feel that I haven't really done anything majorly. They would not be one ever to even dream or think of themselves as just standing up and telling what some refer to as a bold-faced lie, to make up something and tell on someone to with the intent to hurt, but then they have no conscience at all in letting that thing down and just telling some little something by the wayside. It is dangerous indeed, and a sin by which the same kind of sin had brought the death to the human race. How does God feel about lying upon the lips of any man? Well, first of all, in Numbers 23 and verse 19, the Bible said that God is not a man that he should lie. And then too, in Psalms 101 and verse 7, the scripture used this term, He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house, and he that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. That is, they are removed from God if such a thing is done. Now further, in Hebrews 3:11, the Lord would say, with this or any other sin of his type, that I swear in my wrath, they will not enter into my rest. You see then that it is not something that is just so minor as to ignore an involvement in such an act. How that God looks at it, according to Proverbs 6, verses 16 through 19, the writer said, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven is abomination unto him. And two of the things he named was a lying tongue and a false witness that speaketh lies. Those two things were not only wrong, they are abomination in the sight of God. Further, in Proverbs 12 and verse 22, the writer said that lying lips are abomination to the Lord, repeated again by emphasis. But then we understand how God feels about it. He was offended to such a degree that Eve had listened and that obeyed the lie till he caused death to fall upon her race. But then how does a Christian, how does a real religious-minded individual feel about lying? I think that it stands to reason, you know how you feel, and I certainly know the same thing. If a person ever tells you a lie, you really never get over the fact that he is untrustworthy in such a manner. In Proverbs 13 and verse 5, the Bible said, a righteous man hateth lying. It is simply illustrated by the terms that is given. More than that, how does a liar himself feel about the lie in which he is told? The Bible even comments in a direct manner in Proverbs 26, verse 28, a lying, a lie, a lying, a, beg your pardon, a lying tongue, hateth those that are affected by it. They do it in a such a way as to discredit, to belittle, and to cause that person to lose influence, love, and respect. That can happen in so many fields and so many areas, by which sometime that silence rather than correction of a lie, that it goes undone, and one often is injured for life because of it. But then again, the end of a lie, as described in the scripture, that is the final climax, in Revelation 21 and verse 7, speaking either of the holy city or of heaven, whichever a person might choose to term it there, the writer said, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the book of life. Then again, in speaking in the contrast of hell, the Bible would say in Revelation 21 and 8, all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, while shut out of heaven, hell's gate will be open wide. Now again, in Proverbs 19 and verse 5, the Bible said, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. In verse 9, it emphasized, they shall perish. I give this host of verses just simply to try to impress within the mind of us all the horror of such an act by which a person might do. Now, there are three basic ways by which I feel that a lie is dealt with. That we can either tell a lie, that we can live a lie, or we can practice a lie. And I fail to see in the final outcome as to where one is any worse than the other in that respect. To tell a lie is illustrated in Jeremiah 23 and verse 25, where the Bible said, God speaking through his prophet, I have heard what the prophets say that prophesy lies in my name. Now they had spoken things, they had preached things, they had taught things to the people, and God said, I have heard, but he said, I've heard the lies in which they say. In verse 17, he even tells us the form of the lie in which they were using. They were saying unto everyone that walked after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. In our day and generation, we still have the same kind of teaching done by some from the sectarian world. Let your conscience be your guide. God said that is not so, and that's a lie. Nonetheless, he said, I've recognized, I've heard what they say that prophesy lies in my name. Now, if one should teach something that is not accurate and not true, and one as a candidate should obey what he has heard, both the one that obeyed and the teacher himself will go down in defeat. That is why I understand the Bible to speak concerning, be not many masters, nor ye shall receive the greater condemnation, while the term master to be related unto that of a teacher. Even in our pulpits, as preachers of the gospel, we have to be ever so careful that what we teach is what the Lord himself had imparted through his word. Now again, he is said that in 1 Kings chapter 13 and verse 18, we mention the story of the prophet, the old and the young prophet. It summed it up by saying, but he lied unto him. He had told him that the angel, by the word of the Lord, spake unto me, saying, bring him back with thee. Now remember, God said, I didn't send these prophets, yet they ran. But here's an illustration of exactly what had happened. He said, the Lord, by an angel, said to bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat and eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. It was something by which the man told, not in harmony with what God said, but in the contrast. The young man, as we mentioned a moment ago, intending to live exactly to what the Lord said, he heard this man's reasoning. The man named it in the name of religion. The Lord told me to tell you, in other words. And so he listened to that. He did not want to disobey God. He was honest. He was sincere. But he went back, having been persuaded of that man, the Lord told me to tell you what to do. Now here's a point that I like to emphasize. The very fact that God told this young man exactly what to do as we are told in the scripture. When one rises on the scene and gives his views or verdicts upon a matter, as sometime we're taught about different principles of the doctrine of salvation and whatever, and they talk about the Lord told me this and that, the Bible shows that we are choosing between God and man. That is why that Paul would even emphasize the fact that if any come and bring not this doctrine, that which we have received of the Lord, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Well, then again, talking about the lie that is told, what about the little white lies? That is, that you do not really feel that you will ever make up a lie, a total falsehood, and use it or tell it against anyone. What about a little white lie? A lie, and I understand what is really by the definitions of the dictionary, that a white lie is really what is addressed as a half-truth. That is, that when something is told, it is part true, it is part lie, and yet it is arranged in such a manner that the one that is listening receives the wrong information, and when that is done, it is nothing less than a lie in the boldest sense by which it can be dealt with. In fact, I believe today that a lie that is half lie, half truth, it is harder to deal with and harder to refute than any other kind. A lie that is all lie can just simply be refuted, denied, and show that it is totally not true in every form of the word. There is one common form of lying that is used by which I feel sometimes is practice, and it is simply by a suppressing of the part of the truth that is within it. In other words, when some event happens, we can tell a story about what had happened, and we can tell it in such a manner, choosing and selecting the right word, but we can tell it in such a manner the receiver is hearing totally a different story than what is really the truth about the matter. And then, should one ever be caught up in the bind and come face to face to have to answer, they can say, now what I said was, and they can tell the actual facts and truth, but in a different way by which the entire meaning has changed. Brethren, it is done sometime, but it is wrong, it's sinful, and it has brought hurt to so many. That's why it must be totally avoided. But then again, to suppress the part of the truth, it was done in biblical days. You might remember that in Genesis 37, 31 through 35, the story is told about Joseph having been sold into the hands of the Ishmaelites, and while they had taken him off to Egypt, his brethren had taken the coat that his parent, a father, had made for him, the coat of many colors, and they killed a goat and they drenched it in the blood. They go now and hold this coat in the presence of their fathers, and they said, this have we found. And they asked concerning the matter, this we have found, and know not whether it be thy son's coat. The father immediately recognized and affirmed it was. They did not correct the mistake even here. The father wept over the matter and believed that his son was dead. Now you see what had actually happened. They had depressed a part of the truth. They took that coat, they held it before the father, and they more or less asked the question, does this belong to your brother? They knew the truth. They knew that it was the right coat. They knew it was Joseph's coat. And yet by the wording in which they had used, they really threw the mind of their father off track as to even suspect them guilty of what they had actually done. But then again, the story in Genesis chapter 12, verses 10 through 20, it talks about Abraham, his wife Sarah. She was a beautiful woman. And the Bible talks about the trip, a journey in which they made, that he was somewhat fearful that they would take his life, that they might take his wife to be theirs and so on. And so he told his wife to say that you are my sister. Now, that was not a lie. Abraham had no intention that I can read from the scripture of trying in any way to have his wife to just outright lie about the matter. But he was having her to suppress a part of the truth involved. Tell them that you're my sister. Well, it is true, according to Genesis 20 and 12, that his wife was his stepsister, that is a sister by his father, but a different mother, and that he was married to her. A part of the truth suppressed. I don't really know as to why those things was done. I do know this, that the Bible, in relating back to some of those stories and events, would say the time of their ignorance God winked at. Whether it applies here or not, I know not. But sometime when we, in our day, will suppress a part of the truth, leaving the other totally out in the open, the wrong understanding is often received, and great hurt is done by it. When someone tells a story, however critical or however serious that it might be, and they tell that story, if they tell it to the best of their ability, to the best of their knowledge, they tell the truth and only the truth, they never in the future have to give consideration of what they told the next time they tell the same story. They can go back and tell what they knew, as it were, and everything is right. But whenever one will falsify, stretch the imagination, or overemphasize some particular things about it, and add their own ad libitum to it to change it up, then whenever they tell it again, they've got to try to remember what I said the last time, else they'll be caught up with in such a matter. I'm afraid today that too many people are like I heard a man say a while back in the form of gesture. He said, I would rather tell a lie any day than the truth, because when you tell a lie, you can always add on to that. But when you tell the truth, you have nowhere else to go. It is true in its concept so far as the facts are concerned. While again, there are some, like the Philadelphia lawyer, they would never intentionally just tell a lie, but just simply rearrange the facts. But then again, when we talk about the means and methods by which lies can be done, there is the devil himself, and it shows how that with words a lie is told. In Genesis 3, 1 to 4. We mentioned that a moment ago in the conversation between Eve and Satan, and the devil asked her about the tree of the garden, and she said, we may eat of every tree but the tree of knowledge. God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. The devil promptly said, ye shall not surely die. Well, it was a straight lie that was told then. And as a result of that, though being deceived by that lie, it did not lessen the crime in which she had committed. She believed what she had heard. The Bible said Eve was deceived. She was lied to, but she obeyed that, and God drove her from the garden. I've often thought in regards to this, how that Adam, the Bible said, was not deceived, and yet it said Eve was deceived. But here is one in full knowledge and one being deceived about the matter. They both committed the same sin the same day, and both were driven from the presence of God just because she was in a position to say, well, I really didn't know, although God had spoken. And yet here is the devil saying it will not happen, and she believed that she cannot claim justification. Then as to a way by which a lie is practiced is the very fact of lying wonders, as described in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 9. The Bible said, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. In Revelation 13 through 15, it illustrates about some of this form of wonders of bringing down fire from heaven and so on in the sight of men, and by the things in which they did, they deceived the people on that occasion to believe what they were doing were genuine and dependable, the lying wonders in such a manner. And I'm afraid that today, that in the world we still have such a thing that is being done, even as described in Matthew 7, beginning with verse 21 through 23, where Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He said, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works. Those things were done, they boast about their practice, but Jesus said, I never knew you. But when it was done, they were convincing others of their being genuine in their practice. Today, I think there are still many deceived in the same lie. Let us talk more detailed about living a lie, exactly how that can and is done in various ways. Well, first of all, when a person is unfaithful to his marriage vow to keep yourself to him or her only as long as you both shall live, and then whenever a person violates the vow by which they have taken, and they are actually living that lie. It is not a word by which they express, but their action have thusly concluded as to what it was. While again, being unfaithful to God after obeying the gospel, it was a day that we committed our life unto him. When we commit our life unto God, and yet we sometimes see some that will turn aside, they live in sin, they do things rebellious to the calling of God, they are actually living a lie. And I think it is true even from a sectarian, denominational, or digression, or liberal form, whenever they leave the scripture and begin to do and practice things not in harmony with the word, bearing in mind that the Bible said, Jesus praying to God said, thy word is true. Now, since the Bible or the word of God is true, doing anything to the direct contrast is to deny that it's being accurate and right. We make it a lie, and thusly in doing the other, that we are living a lie. Because the Bible said in Romans 3 verse 4, let God be true and every man a lie. But then again, in 1 John 5 and verse 10, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Now the very fact to deny the Bible being up on us today, the New Testament, as being enforced upon us, when we live in such a way as to deny that and live to prove it, then we of course are living a lie in that degree. In Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 15, the people said that we have made lies our refuge, and understanding falsehood we have hid ourselves. They have by this particular way made a manner and a way of life out of the things that they were forming in their mind thusly to do. 1 John 1 and verse 8, the writer said that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If truth is not in us, the reverse, of course, would be from a spiritual standpoint. Hypocrisy, living as a hypocrite, is certainly to be understood as living a lie. When one will put on an outward show of being a Christian, yet within, they are totally something else entirely. Like the Bible one time had used the term, they say they're Jews and are not, but are found liars. What is he saying? They were saying in their life that I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of God, and so on, but really they were not. The Bible said they were liars, and that is exactly where one living a hypocritical life would find himself. But then the practice of a lie, I understand this to be in just simple realms of doing things that is in contrast to the truth, in the realms and lines of worship. That is why that I feel so strongly, as much so as any other degree, about innovations being brought within the church to practice something not authorized by Scripture, which is true. It would thusly be to practice a lie. Revelation 21 and 8 still has lost none of its power upon such a time. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 25, the writer said, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. All right, then, they take the truth, the Word of God. They mingle within it their own ideas and concepts. They began to practice and impose such upon others, and then both the master and the teacher fall under the condemnation they are practicing a lie. Vines would describe it upon this way in light of Jeremiah 13:25, "Thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood." The term falsehood was one of the definitions that the dictionary defined the lie as being. They're trusting in their own manner, own way of doing a thing of the type. But then in Amos 2 and verse 4, I think this passage says a lot. "Thus says the Lord, for three transgressions of Judah, and four will I not turn away the punishment thereof." Because, and he named them. First of all, he said, they have despised the law of the Lord. Secondly, he said, they have not kept his commandment. Thirdly, and their lies caused them to error. Then fourthly, after the which their fathers have walked. Not only did they destroy or lead themselves astray by their own concept in opposition to the truth of God, but they had led their people or their families along that line. Still, under this day, there are those that will argue and pointedly say, if my mother and dad was not saved, then I don't want to be out. They emphasize the fact that they are saved, and there's no need for others to try if they are not. I think in harmony with what the Bible here described in this passage, that it is exactly as that is taught in Isaiah 30 and verses 9 and 10. The writer said, this is a rebellious people, lying children. Children will say to the seer, see not. To the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceit. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, then with verse 11 involved, the writer said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except that it come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Surely in this passage one could well say how the lie is being practiced. Here is a man, the man of sin. He upholds himself, produces himself, and sits in the seat of God, declaring that he is God. He is practicing that himself not only, but any of his followers that will go that way, recognize and esteem him is exactly the same so far as living or practicing a lie is concerned. More than that, the Bible teaches in Job chapter 13 and verse 4 that you're forgers of lies. That term just simply means to fabricate or counterfeit. That is to have something else instead of the original that bears some of the identities of it, by which is led many astray. This is thy lot, the Lord said unto man, because of the act. This is thy lot of thy measure from me, says the Lord, because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. Understand the term falsehood even here again to relate unto that which is untrue or a lie by which one might practice. 1 John 1:6, if we say we have fellowship with him, that is with God, and walk in darkness, he said, we lie and do not the truth. Since the Bible is the light of God's word, we walk in the light, we walk in harmony with his word. But if at any time, be it in the social life, be it in the religious or the practice of services rendered to him, that it is not in harmony with that, we walk in darkness, thus we have not fellowship with God because of it, and certainly we will not have fellowship with one another if one walked in the light and the other did not. Romans 1 verse 25, the writer said, who changed the truth of God into a lie, worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. Their affection had been warped and twisted, something else or someone else, put in the supreme position over man, by which, of course, they had worshiped, leaving God out. Well, it could go on, but let me just sum up basically on this order. The three basic ways by which we feel the lie is practiced by individuals and could happen to us. It's the very fact we can tell a lie just simply by forming a statement not true and telling it. To live a lie is to live in contrast to that which is right, that which is ordained of God, that must be done. To practice a lie, of course, is simply to carry it out in one's life.